Short prayer. Lord, may what we hear with our ears burn in our hearts and be set forth in our lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Now, for those of you who've got good memories, you will remember that I've spoken to you before about my friend Jeff in Manchester, who married very late in life to a divorcee with two girls, whose previous husband was in prison for some felony or other, I don't know what it was. Now, when they met, Jeff had his own house, brand new BMW, and a good job. He was working for me. They met on the internet. They married very quickly, had a little boy, then they sold his house, moved into a brand new rent-to-buy house, sold his car, bought his wife a brand new car and a smaller one for himself. When her first husband came out of jail, she up and left, taking the children and the car with her and leaving Jeff in thousands and thousands of pounds of debt and leaving him brokenhearted. Now, over the years, Jeff has slowly come to terms with what has happened to him. And then along came the pandemic. To cut a long story short, he has not been out of the house since the pandemic and has become a complete recluse. Now, Jeff has always been a whiz on the computer, and so he learned how to order his food, his tablets from the doctor, his clothes, his household items, everything on the internet without moving an inch out of the house. What's more, he found Zoom and communicates with his son entirely that way. So they never meet face to face anymore, even though Jack is now 21 years old and in a relationship with the lovely Sophie. He never goes down to Somerset to see his only other living relative, Mark. Never goes out the house. Jeff lives his life vicariously via the internet. He loves Torquay and has a great knowledge of the town by scrutinising the local press and watching, would you believe, a live webcam of the town every single day. He knows what sort of weather there is in Torquay every single day. He corresponds even with local councillors on aspects of town planning and traffic regulations. They almost certainly think that he's a resident of the town. It is where he married his wife, so I suppose it was once his happy place. So Jeff endures life now, I think, rather than living his life. So please say a prayer for Jeff today that one day he'll find the courage to step out of his house and live his life again before it's too late. Jeff is just a bit older than me. He's 76 years old. Why am I burbling on about my sad friend, you say? Well, today we're called to remember a rather different sort of recluse. Saint Leonard, who lived from the year 485 to 560. Boy, doesn't that feel a long time ago when you say it. And he became a much revered and much loved hermit, which was a religious recluse. Now, life as a hermit in those far-off days, nearly 2,000 years ago, was not actually so very different from that of my friend Jeff in so many ways. A hermit never left his oratory. His whole life was dedicated to prayer. His everyday needs would be supplied by the religious faithful who would bring food, water, fuel for his fire maybe, and warm clothing, and they would leave them outside of the cave or the chapel which formed the oratory, and they would do that in return for a blessing or in a turn for a request for prayer and healing. And it was a symbiotic existence, each mutually dependent on the other. So who was this Leonard? Why are we thinking about him today in the Anglican lectionary? Why do we have to think of him apart from it being All Saints, of course, this week, and we think of all the saints? Now, Leonard was born as a nobleman's son in northern France, and he was raised at the court of King Clovis. I've never heard of this King Clovis before, but there you are. He was raised at the court of King Clovis, where he became a favourite of the king. As he grew into manhood, he was taught the skills of battle and how to kill and maim a supposed enemy. These acts of aggression started to appall him, and after a particularly bloody battle, he turned his life around and started to turn to religion, to turn to Christ. He entered a monastery and was taught by two monks who later were canonized as saints for their religious works and charitable acts. Oh, I didn't write their names down, so I've forgotten the names now, of course. But anyway, they're some of the lesser saints. So Leonard started to be interested in the salvation of prisoners and improvements to the appalling conditions in which prisoners were incarcerated in those cruel times. So he visited prisons often and worked tirelessly for the release of those unfairly sentenced, such as political prisoners. He was so successful in this regard that a cult grew up among prisoners that if you prayed to Leonard in earnest, then your chains simply fell off and you'd be set free. All the time, Leonard remained at court, at the court of King Clovis, in between visits to the monastery, visits to prisons. And he accompanied the king and his very pregnant wife on a stag hunt one day at the king's behest. During the hunt, the queen started to give birth, and it was a long and arduous labour throughout the night. All the while, Leonard remained at the side of the king and queen, praying for a successful outcome. In the morning, the child was born and was healthy and beautiful. King Clovis was so pleased with Leonard that he granted him a parcel of land, and he told Leonard to get on a donkey and ride around as far as he could in a circle to establish this parcel of land. Leonard used the land to establish a monastery where he became abbot and then built a thriving community around it. As he grew older, like many of us here, he craved a quieter life, where he could dedicate his remaining years to prayer and contemplation. So eventually he withdrew to the forest of Limoges and became a hermit. He died peacefully at a remarkable age of 85, which was extraordinary for those days. Soon after his death, his reputation grew for miracles, especially after one French ambassador maintained that he became free from incarceration in an Ottoman jail in Constantinople after praying to Leonard. And he said his chains simply fell off. And many women testified to giving birth successfully after petitions to Leonard, thus eventually from Rome receiving canonization and being declared as a saint. Now, his reputation spread from France to England after the Norman conquest of 1066, when William I decreed that every town and village in this land should have a stone-built church erected. And my goodness, many of those churches still stand today. So subsequently, over 150 churches were thus dedicated to St. Leonard, and many towns were named after him too. such as St. Leonard's on Sea, which is close to Hastings and where the battle had taken place, of course, and Chapel St. Leonard's by Skegness in Lincolnshire, to name just two that we would know about. And locally, do you know, we have our own St. Leonard's Church, which is the beautiful church of Over Whittaker on the Nuneaton Road, the one with the tall spire that stands at the top of the hill. Do take chance one day to go into the church. It's absolutely gorgeous inside. It's very rare for people to become religious hermits, isn't it, in this day and age? Very rare. You see, Jesus calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. And there's a huge difference. And it's a tough ask for most of us, but one I'm sure we all aspire to turn away from that love of sinning, to be in the world but not of the world. How do we do it? Jesus gave us some simple rules: to honour our fathers and mothers, to love our neighbours as ourselves, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. Simple instructions, quite hard to follow. No, it's no good shutting ourselves away from the world, is it? What does it achieve? How will the world come to know about the saving gospel of Jesus Christ unless we tell them? Amen.